Any day that you are above ground, you've got breath in your lungs, it's a good day. Because you know, God gives us each another day, not because we need it, but because somebody needs us in that day. You know, and that's kind of the common theme of everything that we do is, you know, giving God all of the glory and making Him our sole focus. Because without that, without Him being our focus, we're going to fall every time. You know, we're going to fall into traps and we're going to have issues if we don't let Him have our focus. But, you know, as I was trying to prepare something to share tonight, y'all ever just like have a hard time when you're setting your mind to do something?
Yeah.
And it's like every distraction pops up,
yeah.
Right? And it's like every little thing. And I was trying to, you know, and throughout the week I try to spend time with God to say, you know, God, what would you have us to, you know, to hear? What would you have me to say? And it was literally every time that I got my Bible out and began to read it, you know what happened? My awesome little smartphone kept binging. And it was notifications. It's news. I get a lot of news on my phone. And literally every time I sat down to spend time with God, the news would pop up on my phone. And you know what it would be about? All the coronavirus that's happening. You know, and all of the fear and the things that are going on with that virus. You know, and just the people running out and hoarding up stuff.
Yes.
You know, hoarding up toilet paper. I mean, come on, toilet paper? I mean, I give you water. I give you ramen noodles. But toilet paper? We're going to have a run on toilet paper? Of all things? You know? And there's just so much media hype to the whole thing. And yes, don't get me wrong, I believe this is a very serious thing that we're facing as a country. But I believe that some of it is, some of the fear is hyped up. And, you know, it's perpetuated because, you know, CNN and MSNBC and Fox News, they got to have something to talk about. And if there ain't nothing to talk about, they're going to make something up. But, you know, it's all this fear that we're going through. And when the worship team picked out songs to sing tonight, I didn't tell them what I was talking about. But they sang that song, We Believe. And what's the first part of that? In this time of desperation. That's us right now. Because there's a lot of desperate people out there. There's a lot of fear out there. But what do we do with that? You know, sometimes you just got to laugh. You know, you just got to laugh to keep from crying and from keeping from being afraid. And I spend a lot of time on the internet, and I find a lot of funny pictures. I found one. It's really poignant because of what I have on. But, buddy, will you go ahead and show that picture? It says, coronavirus tip, wear a Cubs jersey. You won't catch anything. Hallelujah, right there. I say that as I'm wearing a Cardinal jacket, right there. Remember, when you start fearing, wear a Cubs jersey. You ain't catching nothing. You're fine. But see, you got to laugh a little bit. You got to laugh to keep from being afraid. Because, you know, in this time of fear and desperation, fear, it's a natural emotion, you know. It's natural. It happens. You know, it's that fight or flight mentality of, you know, when something's pressing against you, how are you going to react? And even though it's a natural response, it shouldn't be our first response as children of God.
Right.
See, that shouldn't, it's a natural thing to be afraid, but it shouldn't be our first instinct, our first response as children of God. See, in the Bible, I did some research, and the words fear not or be not afraid in the King James Version of the Bible appear over 130 times. 130 different times, scriptures, it says, fear not or be not afraid. Why does God repeat that? Because we're little kids and we have to repeat, we have to hear things over and over. See, with my own boys, I've got to tell them things multiple times for them to get it through their thick skull. It's the same thing with God. He tells us over and over, over 130 times, fear not. Be not afraid in these times. Fear not. To see, the enemy uses fear to decrease our hope. He uses fear to limit our victories. He uses fear to stunt our growth in Christ. Because see, that's one of his main tools, is fear. Fear of, am I going to be okay? Am I going to get sick? Am I going to have enough? Am I going to make it through? Because see, fear is a distraction to get your eyes off of the goal. To get your eyes off of Jesus. Now over in Matthew 14, we talked about this a little bit last week. But at Matthew 14, about the 23rd verse, it's the story of when Jesus walks out on the water, right? And he calls Peter forth. Because Peter looks at him and says, if that's you, Lord, call me out there. I see you, Jesus. I'm coming for you. So he starts walking out. And then what does he do? Fear sets in. And he begins to sink. And I think it's about verse 30. He begins to sink because he gets his eyes off of the prize. His eyes off of Jesus. And see, there's a quote that's really been burning in my mind. It's by a guy named A.W. Tozer. Buddy, will you throw that up there for me? It says this, a scared world needs a fearless church. A scared world that we have now needs a fearless church. A church that is rooted in the things of God to where they say, I don't have to fear. Come hell, high water, whatever. I can go through because I'm standing on the rock. I can keep moving forward in this time of desperation. Because see, there's a lot of people looking for hope. We've got the hope. So it's up to us to be a fearless church.
Yes. Amen.
See, because in Isaiah 41:10, in the King James Version, it says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not, what? Dismayed, for I am thy God. See, it says there, be not dismayed. Don't be bewildered. When things come at you, don't look around and say, what am I going to do? You look to God and you say, what are you going to do, God? How are you going to fix this? How are you going to get me through? You see, over and over in the Bible, God refers to himself as, I am. See, God is, when he says, I am, he's saying, I am exactly what you need in that moment. If you need hope, I'm hope. If you need strength, I'm strength. If you need provision, I'm provision. See, over and over he says, I am. Trust me, I am all of these things. And ultimately, fear not. So what should we do? What should we do? In this time, we look at Psalm 46:10, and it says, be still, and know that I am God. See, when it says, be still, it means to stop, to slow down. It's what I say to my boys when they get themselves stirred up. I have to get down on their level, and I look them in their eyes, and I say, chill your butt. That's what that's telling us. Chill your butt, dude. Don't get so worked up. Be still. Stop adding to the fear. Stop stirring up the chaos in your life. He says, be still. Chill your butt, dude. See, I know a lot of high-strung people. I'm married to a high-strung person. But Lord, the Lord has blessed me with, I don't know what you call it, but it's maybe I'm a low-strung person. So between the two of us, we even out. I make her a medium-strung person. But see, sometimes when my wife gets stirred up and she seeks me out and she finds me and says, am I being crazy about this? Or I'm going through this. What's the first thing I always tell you? Slow down. Slow down. Get out of your own way. Be still and know that God is God. Whew, get that. Be still. And see, it's natural to wonder, will I have enough? Will things be okay? Will I have enough food to make it through? Will I have enough toilet paper to make it through? Will I have enough water to make it through? But to get the answer to that question, where do we turn? The Bible. What does the Bible say? Matthew 6, 25. Let's start looking at it. Matthew 6, 25, verse through 34. It says this. That is why, in the New Living Translation, it says, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? See, the sum of life is more than just, am I going to eat? Do I look good? The answer for me is always yes. Just kidding. But, see, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Verse 26, it says, look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns. But your heavenly Father does what? He feeds them. He takes care of them. The birds of the field, they don't got to worry about, are they going to feed? Are they going to eat? God's got them. Now, get this next sentence. And aren't you more valuable to him than they are? If God's going to take care of the birds, aren't you even more valuable than they are? If he's willing to take care of them, he's going to take care of you. He's going to see you through. And I love verse 27. It says, real plainly, can all of your worries add a single moment to your life? All of the worry, all of the strife that people are going through, is it adding anything to your life other than heart disease, wrinkles, and baldness? People pulling their hair out. See, all of these worries, it's not going to add a single thing to your life that's good. Verse 28 says, and why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all of his glory was not dressed as beautiful as they are. Verse 30. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown in the fire tomorrow, he will certainly, what? Care for you. So why do you have so little faith? When the waves come, why do we have so little faith? Why do we say, God, I can't, my whole life's falling apart. Give it to him, you ain't got to worry. Give it to him. Verse 31 says, so don't worry about these things saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, and what will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. If you notice that, these things dominate. That's why people hoard all their stuff. That's why all the toilet paper's gone. It's because these things dominate what unbelievers think about. But your heavenly Father already knows all of your needs. Verse 33. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously. And what happens? He will give you everything that you need. See, when you seek God, you put him first in all of this chaos and all of this fear. You put him first and you live righteously. The promise is he's going to take care of you. He's going to be there through you, through the storm. He's going to guide you through the path that he wants you to go.
Amen.
Verse 34. So don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. See, many times when we get fearful, we start getting all, we start reaching ahead in the future of grabbing for more fears to add on to our stack. When God's saying, don't worry about tomorrow. Worry about today. And know I'm going to get you through today. And then when you get through today, you can look back. Wait, God got me through yesterday. I can go through today. I can go through tomorrow because God got this. God has this. But here's the deal. In all of this stuff with this whole virus thing and all of the fear around it, God tells us to fear not, but ultimately, don't fear what's going on, but don't be stupid either. Don't be stupid. You got to have balance. You can't have a reckless life say, oh, well, God's going to protect me and everything. No, he gave you a brain for a reason, for you to use it, for you to use it. And in all of this, there's certain things to be smart, to do. There's this group that the government funds. It's called the CDC. They tell you to do some things. Listen to them. Listen to them. Thank you. And especially, and if you say, well, that's the government. I need to listen to God. Okay, I got you. James 4:8. Put that up there, buddy. What does it say? James 4:8 says, wash your hands, sinners. Wash your hands, sinners. If you ain't going to listen to the government, listen to God. Wash your hands, sinners. Purify your hearts. See, if you're not going to listen to anybody else, listen to Jesus right there. Wash your hands, sinners. Make sure. Wash them. But, see, fear not, but don't be foolish. Proverbs 12:15 says this, fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to others. They listen to people. How are we going to get through this? We're going to band together. We're going to do what they tell us to do. And we're going to come out stronger on the other side. But it says, fools think their way is right in their own mind. Stop being a fool. Jesus has got you, but he doesn't want you to be a fool. Proverbs 14:16. I love this one. Really get this one. Okay. The wise are what? Cautious and avoid danger. In all of this, be cautious. Stay at home, people. Stay at home. The wise are cautious and avoid danger. Fools plunge ahead with reckless confidence. Don't be a fool. Don't be a fool. I got one other verse I want to look at. It says this in Proverbs 19:3. People ruin their lives by their own foolishness. Yeah, that right there is the truth. But here's the rest of it. And then they get angry at the Lord. Something happens to you in all this chaos. It ain't God's fault if you're being dumb. It's not God's fault. Stop blaming him if something happens to you because you're being dumb. Because you forgot James 4:8. Wash your hands, sinners. Notice how I keep repeating that. Wash your hands, sinners. Looking at you. But see, we say all of that. It's all summed up to that very first verse that we talked about. Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Do not be dismayed, for I am thy God. If you get nothing else from any of this, in this time of chaos, put your trust in God. We got to have some faith instead of fear. Faith instead of fear. Give up your fear and grab some faith. That's what I want to leave you with. That and James 4. Wash your hands, sinners. Thank you. Very good,